Welcome to episode 421 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth and George. And we are also to welcome back to the podcast another Outlander agent, Stacy.
Yay!
Thank you.
Welcome back. So when most people think of river cruising in Europe, their mind goes to Viking river cruises. Viking has 80 longships on the rivers around the world, and there's a good chance that there is a place you want to stay on the river, Viking can take you there. Stacy recently experienced the Danube with Viking, and she's here to tell us about it. So let's get started.
Yay, so I'm super excited.
Yeah, me too.
No, we haven't talked about Viking yet. And if you watch like PBS, Downton Abbey, or anything like that, you've seen their commercials. So
it was sort of the household name of river cruises, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely the most recognizable. Can you talk a little bit about the ship? We'd like to hear what you thought of it. Did it feel crowded? Were there a lot of people on board?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. The ship was beautiful. It was very nice. It was it did not feel crowded. I think these ships, or the one that I was on, can hold about 180 to 190 guests. And we were told that we were right around 155 guests. So it wasn't full.
Okay.
It didn't feel crowded. And in fact, you know, you'd of course run into people because the ship's not a huge ship, like a, you know, like one of the mega ocean cruise liners. So you do run into the same people a lot. And, the only time I would say it got really crowded or felt like a full room in the lounge was when there was outside entertainment they brought in. So everybody wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. And that happened a couple of evenings. And that's when I would say like it was almost standing room only if you didn't get there early. So,
everybody wanted to be in the same place.
Right. Same place at the same time.
So there were not enough chairs for everyone then, or there were just barely?
I would say there were just barely. I mean, I was actually traveling with two other couples. So there were six of us. So if we wanted to sit together, there were a couple areas that could take, say, like a group of six. We were probably like the largest group traveling together. There were a lot of couples. There were some foursomes. But if we wanted to all sit together, we did kind of have to get to the area we wanted to sit a little early. But other than that, you know, we never had an issue finding a seat or being served drinks. Things like that. Service was pretty quick.
We were kind of talking earlier today. We had like a prequel. And you had talked about, because normally on river cruises, you get alcohol with your meals. But you said you had some kind of drink package, right?
I did. So it just like some of the other river cruises on Viking, you do get wine and beer with both your lunch and your dinner. It's complimentary during those times. But the package we happened to book when we booked included what they call their Silver Spirits beverage package. So we had beers, wine, liquor, cocktails, soft drinks, everything included anytime we wanted. So not just at lunch or dinner. And it was great. We enjoyed that. It made it easy. Had we had to pay for it separate outside of the package we booked, I don't think it was an extravagant amount of money, but it was still just nice to have it included.
Yeah, definitely. So, but you don't know if they allow you to bring stuff back on board because you didn't have to do that, right?
We did not. Well, you know what? I take that back. We did buy a bottle of wine while we were one of our ports and we brought it in, but nobody's checking your packages. Not, you know, nobody cares if you're bringing wine back onto the ship. And I don't think they would have had a problem if we opened it or anything like that to drink it. So, yeah.
Nice. So, sounds like the drinks were pretty good. How was the food?
We enjoyed the food. I have to say they had a nice variety of food. There was every night regional dishes or like either regional or specialty dishes that they've prepared for the evening. But then they also had a menu that stayed consistent every night. It was the same. So if, you know, I guess if you weren't wanting to explore a little with the food, you could always choose from, say, like the grilled salmon or a steak, a chicken dish. They had like creme brulee every night that you could choose for dessert, like a Caesar salad, you know, so your basic mm-hmm. stuff. But the other side of the menu, like I said, changed each night. And a lot of it was, you know, based on the region we were in or the city we were in. And it was all delicious. I did check because I was curious. They had some vegetarian meals. They also had some gluten-free. So I talked to the maitre d' to ask about people who needed to stay dairy free or gluten free. Mm-hmm. And he said that what they really encourage the guests to do is, of course, tell them ahead of time, and that they would work with them to place orders like ahead of time so that they could have more choices to choose from. They could let them know what they could make and alter so that it would fit people's dietary needs.
Yeah, I've been finding that is key, is to let them know and give them advance notice. Mm-hmm. Like for my daughters, you know, I've said before she's gluten-free and vegetarian, but whenever we figured it out, we would just order the night before for her. And then it was awesome. She loved everything she had when yeah. she was able to do that. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, I think like you said, just letting them know ahead of time mm-hmm. Makes it easier.
Mm-hmm. So what about your cabin? How was the accommodations?
The accommodations. So, you know, I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it. Our room was small. we did not upgrade from, we picked the low cabin. So we had what they call like the swan window, where you see the swans swimming right along the water. It was, it had, you know, queen size bed for my husband and I. It had a little mini fridge. It had some drawers, a closet space to hang clothes. But that it was about all the room. The bath, you know, of course, it had a bathroom. The bathroom had a walk-in shower. Not huge, but not, you know, not tiny. With a glass door. It had, you know, of course, your the sink area with a little counter space and some storage, some shelves that you could store things in the bathroom. We did enjoy the heated floors in the bathroom. They were tile that were heated. That was nice. We got to also look at a French balcony room, because one of the couples I was with stayed in a French balcony, and that just means the window is a big giant glass, like sliding glass door, but you can't walk out. And their room was practically identical, except that where our little window was, they had their sliding glass window, and where our window was, we had a ledge, which actually I was telling Sandy earlier today came in handy because we use that as extra storage space. We like stored our backpacks up there, computers, which the other couple didn't have. So it actually kind of worked out nice as far as storing things. Their bathroom was identical to ours as well. And then right before we left, I did get to look at a suite, and it was very nice. The sleeping area was similar in size to what my cabin was. The bathroom was a little larger, but it had a whole nother room with a sofa and chair. And it had a balcony on that end of their suite. And then when the bedroom had the Oh, sorry. French has balcony? Yes, the French balcony. Sorry. So it had like two types of balconies. So it was a lot roomier, very nice. My sister-in-law, who was one of the couples, her room was actually across from a suite, and she said she saw them bringing them like fresh fruit and fresh flowers like every day and for their cabin. So sounded nice. Very nice. Yeah.
Did they have anything else? Oh, sorry, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
One thing to know about Viking is that, you know, all river cruises, all the ships are the same size, with the exception of the Alma Magna, which is twice as wide and can only go on the Danube. But they have to be that size because of the locks in the rivers. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about it, with Viking, they put 190 people on maximum on their ships. For the same size ship, most other river cruise lines have more like 140, and some have even less than that, down to like 100, depending. So you could think about how that cuts into the space of the cabins. So it does sometimes really make a difference. And I know, Stacey, you've been on another line before. Mm-hmm. Would you say that you felt like you had a smaller cabin, even the upstairs cabin, the ones that didn't have the little duck window?
So the cabin I was in before would have been like the same category as the French balcony, and it did have more room than the other one. So this, I would say that these were smaller.
Mm. Yep. Okay, cool. So anything else about the ship itself before we start talking about the itinerary? Did you have any like special areas that you really like to go to and check out, or?
We spent a lot of time, because there were six of us, we spent a lot of time in the lounge so that we could all socialize together. We also enjoyed the top deck, even though it was November. We actually really got lucky with our weather. Except for a couple of mornings that were very foggy, we had no rain. Nice. During the entire cruise, which is not really normal, I would say, for this time of year. And I will just maybe make a little note about the time of year we traveled. We really picked like off season, which this November, like the time we traveled was November 9th was when we left. And it's kind of really in between their, you know, fall, and then the Christmas markets haven't started yet. So, you know, we did pick a time that was, we knew that the cost would be lower, that would be fewer people. And, but it is not known, I guess, for its really great weather. And so we lucked out, I feel. It was really nice weather.
Was it cold? It didn't,
not horrible. Like, I'd say, like, the coldest we had was probably maybe one day in the 40s, but mostly it was mid 50s. And if it was sunny, it really didn't feel bad.
Oh, that's really nice.
It was really nice. One of my favorite spots was on the top deck. Like, we would go up there. Of course, when you're sailing, there's a breeze, so you know. But there were blankets you could like, you know, put a blanket on or whatever. But when we were in port, if you went up there, it was very pleasant.
And did they always dock like in the first or second slot, or were they further out ever?
No, in fact, we were always in the first slot. We never had to walk through another lobby or another ship to get to our ship. Mm-hmm. Although there were ships parked on the outside of us, so a couple of times there were guests walking through our lobby to get mm-hmm. to their ship.
Okay, awesome. All right, so let's talk about where you went. So this is cool. You started in Budapest, which mm-hmm. I love.
It was beautiful. It was really nice. It was our first time in Hungary and first time in Budapest. And it was really nice. In fact, we did an overnight there. So that's where it started. But the first night we spent the night there. As with some other cruise lines, you know, you had an included tour each day, an excursion. So we did take advantage of those. We did it was a part walking, part coach tour in Budapest. And they took us around both the Buda side and the Pest side. And we got to see palaces and cathedrals. It was pretty amazing. We did baths while we were there, the thermal baths that Budapest is famous for. Yep. It was just a walk from our ship. We didn't take a taxi or anything. So it was very close. They had some nearby. And of course, then we left the next night. And as we sailed down the Danube, the lights of Budapest were beautiful. All the buildings lit up. It was just amazing. It was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, I had a good view of Buda Castle for a week to watch the sunrise or sunset over.
You did. And actually, I thought about you while we were there. And I was like, oh, look what Sandy got to see every day.
Every single day.
From her change. Bed. Yeah. That illuminations part of the cruise is always so special because it's like a very unique way to see the city lit up. You know, city lights are always really pretty, but to be able to see them from the water is just really something.
Just the reflection. And, you know, of course, the bridges are lit up too. So it's just, it's really beautiful.
So did you end up having like two full days in Budapest? Because I would assume you arrived kind of morning-ish? Yeah.
It was around noon when lunchtime when we arrived, and then we didn't leave until the next night. So not quite 2 days, but almost.
So when you got there, were you able to go ahead and check in? And
we were, as soon as we got there, and we were picked up at the airport by Viking. They took us to the ship, and actually right after lunch they were having a little orientation walk in Budapest, and the tour guide took us just like for an hour and walked us down to like the main old town area, and then showed us indoor market. So that was really nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then when we went back to the ship, then the next day is when we had our longer tour.
Mm-hmm. I loved Budapest, and I thought it was so cool how it was such a mix of really, really old. Yeah. And then you had like the communism stuff in there. And then you had like the newer stuff. I mean, it's just such a fascinating city. It really was.
Cool. And I mean, you'll probably hear me say this more than once, but, several of the places we went were UNESCO World Heritage Sites. And because of that, things that had been destroyed during the wars, most recently World War II, they are still in the process of rebuilding. And because it's UNESCO site, they do have to rebuild it in a certain, back to the way it was. So it was interesting to see the pictures of the buildings they were in the process of restoring.
Mm-hmm.
And pictures of them before they were destroyed. So it was really interesting.
That's awesome. I could go on and on about Budapest, but now I want to hear about the stuff that I missed when I went to it. So your first stop was Bratislava.
Yes. So we went.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So we stopped in Bratislava, which is the capital of Slovakia. And again, it was really very interesting. Well, I will say, can I just back up for a second though and tell you, on the way there that morning we went through our first lock. So that was really interesting. If you've never been on a river cruise, we went through 11 locks on the Danube, and most of them were at night, I'd say, except for the one that we saw that morning. But it was really interesting. They let us go up on the top deck, which sometimes they can't when you're going through a lock. But just watching the whole process of it filling up, and it was really cool. So then we got to Bratislava, Slovakia. And that afternoon we did a tour again, beautiful scenery of cathedrals. you see a lot of castles and palaces on this itinerary, and I'm not even going to pretend like I can remember what all of them were and who, you know, who inhabited all of them and where, you know, how old they were. But they were all beautiful. It was like each town you went to, you're like, oh my gosh, more beautiful, you know, beautiful stuff to see, lots of history. One thing we did that night, though, and which was nice because a lot of the evenings we were able to be in the town that you were staying in for the day. And we were walking around, you know, enjoying the evening, and we got to try, and I'm not going to say this correctly, but I will try, halaski, which is a Slovakian dish. And we were told about it. And so when we were walking around, we saw it being prepared right there on like a little cafe or something, but right on the street, like street food almost. But it was almost like when you bit into it, it was like the texture of macaroni and cheese was, but it was tasted like a really soft baked potato, and with like the creaminess of a baked potato with sour cream and cheese and bacon on top. It was just amazing.
Sounds kind of like a pierogi.
Yeah, but it was tiny little potato pasta. So it was like, yeah, it was like almost like spiral mac and cheese almost, but it was really hard to describe, just that it was delicious. And I would go back and eat it again in a heartbeat. So, so good.
So that was on the street though, not on the ship, right?
Not on the ship. But actually, okay, they served us some on the ship, actually, the next night. Like I said, they tried to introduce some of the like regional things. And that was one of the dishes they served. And we made sure to order some.
Was it as good on the ship as it was on the street?
It was good, but they didn't put the bacon on it like they had on the street. So I would definitely try it on the street.
Yeah, unacceptable.
It's so funny because George is so quiet and he's just over there shaking his head.
There's a few things you can skimp on, but bacon is not one of them. Yeah,
exactly. It makes the dish for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Nice. All right. So then you're on to Austria. And you stopped in Vienna first?
Yes, we stopped in Vienna, was our first stop. And I will say that was like the first place we got. Well, not that the others weren't great, but when we got to Vienna, we were just like, oh my gosh, like it was amazing. Mm-hmm. The wealth, I guess, the palaces and the just everything was like more over the top than even before. And we of course did our tour in the morning. They took us around and showed us and then gave us free time. We could either go back to the ship if we wanted or stay in town. Of course we decided to stay in town because there was so much to see. Unbeknownst to us, a couple of their Christmas markets had already opened. Very small ones, but still we got like a little taste of what a Christmas market was like. We really wanted to try, go to a coffee house. So coffee house culture is very big in Vienna. And so we found one, you know, one that was recommended, very old. Of course, all had to have our coffee and our dessert, and it was very opulent, you know, chandeliers and just beautiful. I don't even know how to describe it.
It's not a Starbucks.
Not a Starbucks. That was very amazing. We're so glad we stayed and did that and walked around and, you know, just kind of got a feel for the city. It was not, you know, nearly enough time. We wish we could have stayed longer. So many museums, but you know, we all agree that was definitely a city we would go back to. We did go back in the afternoon to the ship because we had planned a night excursion. So that night there were a few different options, like a Mozart concert, and but the one we chose wasn't nearly as educational. We went to a wine tasting, so
nice.
It was really a fun evening. So I guess we were explained to us about, and let's see if I can pronounce it correctly. Let's see. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes here. Back in, I can't remember, like 1700s, there were like laws about who could make the wine and who could sell the wine. And one of the kings decided that they would allow you to sell wine without a special permit only if you made the wine. So these establishments became popular, and they would, basically the wineries were right there on the premise, but they could sell the wine then to their clientele. And so we went to one of these traditional, I'm trying to think of the name. We went to one of these traditional establishments, and they served us wine. We listened to music. We had a little bit of food, and just really, like, they just kept bringing us wine after wines after wines. They're really young wines, because they're not, you know, they're like called the new wines, because they were pretty newly made, I guess. And like, they serve them right from their barrels. It's not like they're bottling them and selling them or exporting them. And so they'd also serve it with seltzer water. And a lot of times they told us they would just make spritzers from them. So we were trying it all different ways, you know, straight and with the spritzers, and maybe some dancing ensued later in the evening.
There was
a lot of wine.
Nice.
But yeah, so that was fun. Our guide again was, all of our guides were excellent, by the way, all of our tour guides. This gentleman was great, explaining to us about the culture and, you know, just the wine that they drink, the beers that they drink. So it was a good evening. Everybody had a fun time.
Nice. So you spent a lot of time in Austria. So your next stop was also Austria.
It was. So we next went to Krems, and that was our first really foggy morning. It was really foggy, and our first the tour in the morning that was included was to the Gottwig Abbey, and so it's also a UNESCO World Heritage Site. There are about 40 monks that live there. They run a school, but they also make wine there. So when we got there, it really was hard to see. They talked about how beautiful the grounds were, but honestly, you couldn't see more than about, you know, 20 feet in front of you. but they had a beautiful church and a beautiful not a fresco, not a mural on the ceiling. Kind of like the Sistine Chapel, you know, but
Painting on the ceiling.
Yeah, painting on the ceiling. So that was beautiful. And we got to taste some of their wines. And I thought, you know, again, a very good tour. Actually, the tour guides we had were employed by the Abbey to do the tour. So they knew what they were talking about. But we were kind of worried, because that afternoon we were going through the part of the Danube of the Wachau Valley. And that's where it's a very beautiful part of the river, very picturesque with, you know, villages, winery, vineyards, and things like that. Well, when we got back to our ship, and then we were set to leave like around 1 o'clock, at about lunchtime, it cleared up, the fog was gone, and it was beautiful. And we were able to sit up top, drink our hot cocoa and coffee and tea, and just like watch the scenery. Actually, our cruise program director, like a cruise director kind of, but she's our program director. She would point out things as we were going down the river, and she'd talk about the castle or this palace or this town, or if you could see the church steeple, or she would tell us little stories about the villages we were passing. It was a 15 mile stretch of the river, and it was probably a couple hours we were up there. And just each town was more beautiful than the next, so it was really cool. That was probably one of my favorite afternoons on the ship.
That's lucky it got cleared up then.
Huh? I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we got so lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. That would have just been, I mean, there's no place. It would have just been sailing along the river. I'm sure you
yes,
had a
exactly.
Great time,
but, yes, yeah. But it would not have been the same. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go. Okay. So, so the next day, you're still in Austria.
We are, but we went to another country. So when we got to Linz, one of the optional excursions that we did, instead of staying in Linz and doing the, you know, included excursion, we decided to go to Český Krumlov, which is in the Czech Republic. So
best decision ever.
It was
so cute. Yeah, it's so pretty.
And again, it started out as a really foggy morning, and so we were a little worried. You know, we drove. It was they, you know, of course, put us on coaches. It's a little bit of a drive, but not real far. And again, our guide was excellent. She was from the Czech Republic. Talked about growing up. Talked about her parents and, you know, during the communist Russia being there, and just some of the stories she said told us were heartbreaking, but also just the people were just, I felt like their endurance came through. Like she talked about just how much they survived through it all. But so we get to this town, and it is, they described it like a fairy tale town. And it was, it's like you get there and you see this beautiful palace built over many centuries, you know, rebuilt, you know, burned. So you saw different styles, you know, you might see like Baroque style and part of it. And so got to hear all about the city. What was I going to say?
Did you go up to the palace? Did you walk up to it?
We did. We walked up to the palace. We did not go in the palace, but we walked up to the palace. We walked all along the river. They talked about this part of Europe gets a lot of flooding because of these rivers. So they did talk a lot about how there was one spot that measured all the different floods. And I mean, at one point, I think as high as like 12 to 18 feet of water, like flooding these towns. But it was a very interesting town. We got a little bit of free time to do some shopping. And then also we explored some of the cafes, had a coffee. Again, it cleared up though. Again, like by the time we got there, it had cleared up and it was a beautiful blue sky day. It was nice. Now I have to keep in mind that it gets dark this time of year there. Kind of like here, but maybe even a little earlier, like by 5 o'clock, it was getting dark, pretty dark. but we had left a little before that to drive back.
So you said you walked up to the palace. Did you see the moat?
Yes, we did.
Did you see what was in the moat?
What was in the moat? Wait, let me think. Hang on. Oh, the bears.
Our bears in the moat. That is what I want. I need a moat with bears in it.
Are they swimming in the moat? What?
There's no water.
Yeah, there's no water in the moat, but there are bears. And we actually saw one of them. Like at first they're like, there's bears in this moat. And we're like, yeah, I don't see any bears. And then of course, a little while later, one came lumbering out, you know, and a big old huge brown bear. And I'll be you'll have to forgive me because I forget the story of why the bears are there.
So the bears are stuck there.
They're taken care of.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's it. They, I mean, the moat forms like an enclosure for them.
Okay.
Yeah. But they are bears. And the cool thing is, and I don't remember the whole story either. I think Chris would remember it. But I mean, I feel like it was an intentional decision to put bears in the moat. I almost think that maybe there was like a water was too expensive, so why not bears or something like that? But I could be wrong about that. Don't quote me on that. Don't send me comments or anything, internet. But the hockey team. So as you pull in where the buses park, there was a hockey arena that we saw straight away
because Marcus plays hockey. Yes.
And their mascot is a bear. And we were like, oh, it's the Bears. Okay, cool. And it turns out that they're named after the bears that live in the moat.
We did see that arena, that ice arena. Now that you mention it, I'd have to say, like, it was just really neat. You know, we had been to Austria before, we had been to Germany before, so getting to go to like Czech Republic, that's not a place I ever thought I would go, and it was pretty much a highlight also of the trip.
That's awesome. Cool. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you're out of Austria, and did you kind of did what you did in Budapest? You like spent the night and disembarked the next day.
We did, yeah. So okay. We got to Paso, and we actually spent the night there. So when we got there, there was like we woke up, we were there. We actually skipped the morning tour. There was a tour that you could go on, and I was just a little tired at this point, so I was like, you know what, and it was foggy again in the morning, so I was like, you know, I think I'll just skip this one, sleep in a little bit, and just go to the city, like go walk around and tour the city. We happened, and I don't know if this happens all the time, but we were not right in the city. We were like probably maybe 2 miles outside the city. And so in the afternoon, they were running shuttle buses for us, like every hour on the hour, you could go into the city. And then on the half hour, they were bringing people back. Now, when we got to the city, I noticed there were some river cruise boats parked right in the city. So evidently we drew the short straw and we did not get the prime port. So, which was fine. The shuttle wasn't bad. And it cleared up and it was beautiful again in the afternoon. So we went and walked around. It had some beautiful churches. One that has like the largest organ in the world. It's called the St. Stephen's Cathedral. And of course, we didn't get to hear it being played or anything, but just gorgeous church. And it's also this particular town is where three rivers meet, and we walked to the very tip, like where you could see the rivers, and it was so interesting because you could see the different color water from the different rivers as well, so that was kind of cool.
You know where else there's three rivers?
No
Pittsburgh.
No. I said I should have seen that coming.
I actually almost tried to stop you, but you're right. It's very interesting. And actually, one of those rivers is no ships are allowed, no boats are allowed on it. It's like pollution free or whatever. Like they keep it pollution free. So that's one of the reasons it's a different color. And I think one is more fresh water than salt, and the other one's more salt than fresh.
And I think one, they talked about why it was darker, something to do with, I want to say with peat or something in the surrounding areas and the soil or something, but that was pretty cool. So then, we spent the night on the ship and didn't disembark until the next day. So last night, you know, we, of course had to pack, which was kind of sad, but, it was like a relaxing evening. I didn't talk about the entertainment, but a couple of nights, and it wasn't the last night, but they did bring on entertainment from some of these areas. We were entertained with everything from opera to folk music to dancing, a violin player. And of course, in Austria, they did some Sound of Music songs. so they were very talented, musicians and vocalists who came on board. Of course, the we had entertainment every night with their Viking piano player singer who would serenade us at night while we were having our drinks and things. So
he was very nice, Caroline, for
very
you.
Nice gentleman. Not so, quite, but
so logistically, your Passau does not have a major international airport. It's like a tiny little town, right? So were most people going on to Munich to leave? Is that
yes?
I know you stayed in Germany a little bit longer.
We did, but we actually left from Munich. But yes, so when you disembark, the flights were, most people, I believe, were leaving from Munich. I say that we allowed Viking to book our flights for us, and that is where they were booking our flights out of, was Munich. Yeah. We did stay a few days, and I know this is about Viking and river cruises, but I would just put in a plug that we really enjoyed our stay after 4 nights in Germany to see some of the Christmas markets. We found out that some were opening. Well, one in particular opened earlier than all the others, and it was in Regensburg. So we took the train from Passau to Regensburg and stayed there 3 nights so that we could go to this Christmas market. And it was so worth it. It was amazing.
Yeah, because they're kind of, they didn't really have them since COVID, right?
Right. So one of our travel agents actually from Outlander Travel lives in Nuremberg. And she said that, yes, for 2 years, they have not had the markets. In fact, last year, she said it opened and within 2 hours, I think it was, they closed them down. We talked to another gentleman who at the market in Regensburg, and he said theirs stayed open for 2 days before they had to close.
And I was in Munich last year, right at, just as they were starting to set up for them, but the Munich one doesn't open. I was there before Thanksgiving, and they actually halfway through setting up, Munich said nope. And so while we were there, they were
taking
half-built booths, they were taking down. It was so sad.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you one thing. So we were leaving from Munich and we spent the night. There's a Hilton at the airport. Yep. So that's where we spent the night. And the Munich airport has two terminals. And between these two terminals, there was a huge Christmas market going on. So had one right at the airport. And it was packed. I mean, that was the most crowded place we had been the whole trip. And so I don't know if local folks from around those areas went, but there was live entertainment, there was a band playing, food booths with lines wrapped around waiting for the food, and of course for the Glühwein, the hop mulled spicy wine. So
we know what Glühwein is here.
Yeah.
on the Flyaway podcast. Yes. Quite familiar. So you have to go back next year to do the Christmas markets?
Well, I mean, I would go back again. I mean, I love the ones we did. So I would definitely go back and do more. Oh, in Nuremberg, we got to see one as well. It wasn't their full-fledged market, but their children's market had opened. So we did get a little taste of that just to kind of see, what that was like.
Did they have the Glühwein there at the children's market?
Well, of course, they did. Nice. I have the mug to prove it.
Does it have little children on it?
They actually have non-alcoholic one that they serve also. I know.
But if you're chocolate. Not of age, you can
Just get hot chocolate. All right. Well, that's awesome. That is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Thank you again to Stacy for coming back to chat with us.
Yay! I had a lot of fun.
And then on behalf of Elizabeth, George, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.